I'm Cole, and I'm a supply chain manager.
I'm Vicki, and I'm a wife, and I'm a mom.
Hi, I'm Jeff, and I am a husband, and a father, and a grandfather.
I'm Elle, and I'm a relationship banker.
I'm Jessica, and I am an elementary teacher.
I am Tiffany, and I am an organizing junkie.
I'm Megan, and I am a mom.
I'm Ryan, and I'm a dad. But I'm called to raise godly sons.
But I am called to trust God with the impossible.
But I'm called to be a teacher and a mentor.
I am called to be a child of God.
But I am called to educate parents who have children with major health issues.
But I am called to be content with who I am.
But I am called to share Christ wherever I am.
But I am called to be content in who God made me.
I tell you, I am so excited. We have, for the last several months, been leading up, preparing for this series. And I know it's, if you grew up in church, that may be a little awkward for you. Like, well, hang on a second, I thought summertime is everyone took off. No, we're like, listen, we want to maximize that opportunity to be able to connect with you and what God's calling you to do. And so we are starting this brand new series entitled Called. And one of the things that we've been talking about for the last several weeks, and we had like 40 copies, I think, and they're all gone now, is the companion piece that we have encouraged you to pick up and get. And I know many of you have, obviously, quite a number of you have, but we don't have any more. And so we encourage you, if you've not gotten it yet, you can get on Amazon. You can get it there. You know, I know it's the great Satan. But anyways, you can buy anything there on Amazon, and you can get it. And, boy, you can download it on Kindle if you do that, or on iPhone reader, or, you know, if you're one of the three people in the world that has Google Play, you can do that. If you're an Android user and a spreadsheet junkie and you love IBM, I'm pretty sure it's on Android somewhere, so you can do it too. But it is a great, great thing. And the reason that we challenge you to do it is because we want you to take advantage of and take control of what God's called you to do. And so the book is What on Earth Am I Here For? It's a revised version of Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. It came out about 15 years ago. I read it 15 years ago. Some of you may go, man, I read that 15 years ago. I would challenge you to read it again. Because about every 5 years, your life changes dramatically. At some point in time in that five-year time period, your life changes dramatically. If you have had children in the last 5 years, your life has changed dramatically. Many of you probably got a new job within the last 5 years. Things just change constantly. And so really, it's an opportunity for you to take a deep breath and go, okay, I'm going to invest some time every single day over the next 6 weeks just spending time understanding what God has called me to be. Now, I've heard from several of you, you've gotten a couple emails, you got the book early and you started to read, and there's this really massive temptation to not read it one day at a time. I would challenge you not to do that, and here's why. Because you're going to get all this information, but you're not going to be able to apply it. So I know, resist yourself and just read one of those chapters. It's about 2 or 3 pages a day as we continue to go through that, and tomorrow would be the beginning, or you can start today if you want to in doing that. And so as we begin this series, we're talking about this idea that if you have accepted Jesus Christ, that God has called you. And more specifically, even if you're like on the outside looking in, you're trying to figure out this whole God thing, I want to challenge you that God has a calling on your life. That God's desire is for you to come to know His Son, Jesus Christ. And so this whole series is about helping you uncover who God made you to be. God is very intentional in your life. God didn't make a mistake. God loves you, and God wants you to fulfill the purpose that He has for your life. Now, this first passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at, Ephesians chapter 1, I want to share with you kind of how I began to view this passage probably about a decade and a half ago. And as I began in full-time ministry, I was just looking for everything I could get my hands on to understand how to be a better pastor, what God has called me to do, how to be a better teacher, mentor, leader, how to do all those things. And so about 5-6 years into my ministry, I thought, you know what? Paul was a pastor. Paul wrote over half of the New Testament. He wrote a lot of the letters, you know, Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. He wrote all of those. And so one of the things that I did is, you know, I'm going to take some time and I'm going to do a personal study just for me. And I'm going to look at each of these books of the Bible that Paul wrote, but I'm going to look at it from a different perspective. I'm going to look at it from a pastoral perspective. Because Paul was a pastor, and so all these letters, because that's what these books were letters that he wrote to groups of people. All these letters were from a pastor to his people or a pastor to another pastor, trying to help him, encourage him, challenge him. Sometimes he was like, man, I love you guys. You are great. Keep up the work. Other times he's like, okay, let's talk about this. This is not okay. And other times he challenged him, hey, listen, live worthy. Keep going. Don't give up. And so I spent time looking through these things. And if you've never done that, man, I would challenge you. Reading the Bible every day is fantastic. Talking to God every day is fantastic. Those are things that you should do. They're disciplines, habits. They're going to help you grow in your understanding of who God is and who God made you to be. But if you get to the point where you're like, man, I want to dig in a little deeper, doing something like this is awesome. Just take a book of the Bible and go, I'm just going to read this and dive into it and write stuff down and ask questions. One of the things I was challenged in college to do was take a book of the Bible and read it. You know, probably couldn't do like Romans, which has a whole bunch of chapters, but like, you know, maybe Titus or Philemon or something like that, and read it once a day for 30 days. It is amazing what you will see. You're like, oh, that will get so boring. No, it won't. Like on day 7, you'll go, man, it's the 7th time they're reading it. And you'll come to a passage in that book and you'll go, I have never seen that before. I just read it 7 times in a row. How stupid am I? No, because here's the thing. The Bible is living and active. And as you read the Bible reads you. And it begins to show you things that you've never seen before. It's not like this mystical. It's not like you're reading the Bible and smoke pops up. You're like, woo. No. It's that it teaches, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit draws you in and begins to show you and help you understand what God wants you to be. And so I began to do this in reading through the books of Paul from this kind of pastoral perspective. And one of the things I noticed is that in almost every single one of his books, he gets to a point where he goes, and I pray. And says, I want to pray this over you. The last couple weeks, I've had several people who've just been like, man, this is going on. And so they'll send me an email or something like that, or they'll tell me on Sunday morning or shoot me a text message that they got my phone number and be like, hey, this is going on. And I'll reply back. I'm like, oh, man, I'm praying for you, and this is what I'm praying for you. And that's exactly what Paul does in these books. It's so cool to read that very intimate prayer that Paul lays out for these people that he loves and he's pastoring. But here's what's so cool about it. And as we read this passage this morning, I hope that you get this sense too. Because God chose to take those letters and put them in the Bible specifically for the purpose of you hearing it, reading it, understanding it, this prayer was not just for the people of that day. That prayer is for us too. And so as Paul says here at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18, 19, he says, I pray. He's praying for you. So let's begin. Paul begins. He says, listen, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those who he called. Now, this is so cool because the context of this is so amazing, because Paul, at other passages of Scripture, has said, listen, you need to understand the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One of his roles is to illuminate, okay? Basically, he means turn on a big, bright, white, hot spotlight into particular areas of your life. Like you're going down the road and you're doing something, all of a sudden you feel like this conviction, oh my word, I really shouldn't be doing this. That's the Holy Spirit going, listen, this area, not okay. We need to change that. Or God, you know, through the Holy Spirit is going, listen, I want you to do this. Step out in this one. Take a risk. Take a chance. Follow me. Pursue me. As you're reading the Scripture, it says that he helps you understand what you're reading. And so Paul says, listen, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would shine this big, white, hot light on what God's called you to do. That you not miss it. That you not run through life misunderstanding and not realizing that God has such a purpose for your life, a calling, a mission, an agenda, a meaning. I don't want you to miss that. And with that, he says, I want you to understand the hope that God has for you. This confident hope that can't be diminished, that can't be removed, that can't be taken back. It's a hope that you have because of the calling. Because God has called you, you can have hope. Because everything that happens in your life happens for a reason. It's to help you understand your calling, help refine your purpose. And so God says, listen, my whole thing is that I hope you understand. Paul says, my prayer is I hope you understand and see God's calling. And he continues. He says, his holy people who are rich and who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Do you know that when God sees you, he doesn't see what you see? When you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you're like, because oh, that's what I do when I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh man, there's another, I gotta get some wrinkle cream or something going on. Because we see ourselves and we're just like, oh, we're such a mess, we're this. God doesn't just see you differently than you see you, but he sees you with incredible value. God literally says that you are his rich inheritance, his glorious treasure. That's what God calls you. Now, you may have people all around you in your life that are calling you invaluable, calling you disposable, cheap, removable, unnecessary. But I want to tell you something. What they say doesn't matter, because the God of the universe, the God that created everything, says that he sees you as his rich treasure, his inheritance, that thing which he holds on to and prizes, that thing which he wants to enjoy, because you are his glorious reward, his rich inheritance. God says, I see value in you. I have great plans for you. I have hope for you. I have an agenda for you. And then Paul continues and he says this, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Notice what it says. It says God's power for what? For us. It's not a trick question. I'm not going to go, oh, change the slide. No. God's power for what? For us. It's not like Paul's going, hey, I pray that you figure out just how powerful God is. I hope you get it figured out at some point in time. No, he's going, listen, I pray that at some point in time, you will realize that this God of the universe that created everything with just speaking, the God that controls everything, the God that holds everything together, my prayer is that you would understand that that power is made available to you. And let's talk about what that power is like. He goes on and goes, listen, this is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Now you're like, ooh, cool. Raising someone back to life, that's kind of cool. But it's even bigger than that. Because this action of Christ raising back from the dead was the one defining, finishing, exclamation point on what Jesus Christ did for us. Satan, the second most powerful being, the most powerful created being. The Bible calls him the prince and the power of the air. Not only is he powerful, but he has angels that we call demons because they're fallen angels. They rejected God, who serve him, who do whatever he would call minions, but not in the Disney kind of way of minions, okay? They do whatever he says. Literally, when Jesus Christ died and said, "It is finished," Satan pulled out all the stops, and he did absolutely everything that he possibly could to keep Christ buried and dead, because if he could do that, he could mute the power of God in our world. And you know what? It wasn't even close. Christ raised back from the grave, from the dead, and it was over with. It was done. He says, I have risen from the grave. I have conquered sin, and I have conquered death. And he says, you know what? That power that muted, I mean, it wasn't even like God had to strain. That's available for you. That's available for you to tap into. How many of you like to entertain people in your home? You like to have, okay, cool. Just send me your addresses, let me know, okay? You like to have people in your home. And if you throw a party, right, you call the people that you invite, or you mail them or email them or whatever, you Facebook post them, whatever, and you're like, listen, I'm having a party, bring something, right? Now, if you're really loose like me, you're like, hey, bring something that everyone can share. If you're the IBM 11 spreadsheet person, you're like, listen, here's what you're going to bring. You're going to bring the French dip from Kroger. It's got to be gluten-free. It's on the third shelf in the deli. Pick that up. Two of them. Not one, two. Now, I want you to email me back with exactly what I just said, right? Most of us are somewhere in the middle, okay? But you all have that friend, right, that shows up to the party, and what do they have? Nothing. They got nothing. They're like, oh, I forgot. Now, see, in my heart, I love people, but in my heart, when you throw a party and you've told everybody to bring something, or you're maybe, I don't know, hosting small group, and you tell everyone to bring something, and they show up with nothing, in my heart, now I don't say this out loud usually, but in my heart, I want to say to them, oh, so you're not planning on eating, and neither are your 17 children that you brought. Because you brought nothing, so you get to eat nothing, right? When God calls, the calling of God doesn't show up to the party empty-handed. The calling of God doesn't show up and go, you better figure it out. The calling of God, Paul says, brings God's hope, which cannot be extinguished. It brings God's power, which cannot be overmatched. And when you pursue your calling, understanding God's hope and God's power is at work, then that leads to God's richest blessing. That's exactly what our big idea is today. If you forget everything else I say, don't forget this. It's really simple that your calling, my calling, leads to God's blessing. My calling leads to God's blessing. You want God's blessing in your life? You've got to pursue God's calling in your life. You go, I don't know what God's calling is. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Because I want you, by the time we're done, over these next 5 weeks, I want you to go, I know, or at least I have an idea, or at least I have a direction of what my calling is. Because when you pursue God's calling, God brings his blessing with it. Now, I always have to say this when I talk about God's blessings, because immediately you begin to hear, oh, God wants me to be rich, and God wants me to have lots of cars, and God wants to... No. No. God's blessing is not limited to the financial realm. And I am so thankful. Because all you got to do is pick up the, you know, most recent issue of Us Weekly or People Magazine or National Enquirer or The Star or whatever is sitting there at the, you know, impulse buy when you're checking out, and you see how miserable these people are. I don't think money makes you miserable, but the pursuit of money makes you miserable. And so if that's what you go, that's what I'm in it for, I'm sorry. God doesn't want you to be miserable. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to be wealthy. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have that in store for you. He very may. But God's blessing is not limited to that. God's blessing is every area and every aspect of your life, every relationship, everything that you have, everything that's going on with you. God desires his blessing to be upon your life, but you must first pursue the calling that God has given you. So what I want to do is I want to share with you today kind of a precursor, a preamble, a preface to this series of what your calling is. And as we talk about that, it also kind of eliminates what your calling is not. And this is big picture calling, big letter C calling, okay? How God has called us. All these truths are true for each and every one of us in regards to our calling. So let's look at this. First of all, the first one is this. My calling is intentional and irrevocable. My calling is intentional and it's irrevocable. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are not an accident. Your parents may not have planned you, but God did. Your parents may not have wanted you, but God does. Your husband, your wife may have left you. God never will. You may be in an environment, in a situation, in a workplace where you don't feel like you matter. God says you do. Because God, since the beginning of time, has been preparing everything that has happened in your life to equip you to pursue your calling. So here's what's really cool about that. If that's true, then every single thing that has happened in your life has happened either because God allowed it or God caused it. It has happened on purpose so that you can pursue your purpose, so that you can become and fulfill the purpose that God has called you to pursue. Even the things that hurt. God will never waste the greatest victory or the deepest hurt. Every single thing that has happened in your life up to this point in time is purposeful and intentional to help you pursue your calling. The powerful truth about that is that then even the most difficult, darkest, painful moment of your life can be seen as a blessing because it helped you become more like the person that God called you to be. Now, it doesn't mean like, yay, I'm bankrupt. Yeah, no. It doesn't mean you rejoice in the suffering or the pain, but you rejoice what comes out of it. You rejoice what happens after it. You are excited because of what it did in you and caused you to do it, because your calling is intentional. The second part is that your calling is irrevocable. It's irrevocable. Doesn't matter what sin you commit. It doesn't matter what choice you make. It doesn't matter what path you go down. God's calling on your life is irrevocable. You go, how do you know that? Well, because God said it. For God's gifts, Romans 11:29. For God's gifts and his calling are irrevocable. Man, it's almost like it was planned. It's irrevocable. Irrevocable means you can't lose it, God won't take it. That's what it means. You go, well, what if I do something really, really bad? Like, I kill someone. Not good. Not a positive thing. You'll probably end up in jail. God's calling is still there. So here's what happens. The choices that you make may change the capacity of your calling, but it will not change the nature of your calling. You go, what do you mean by that? Well, it means this. Maybe God's called you to mentor and teach and help people understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You kill somebody, guess what? It's the inmates now that God's called you to share the message of Jesus Christ. So that's the capacity. But the calling doesn't change because God's gifts and God's callings are irrevocable. It doesn't change. So God's calling, your calling that God has placed on your life is intentional and it's irrevocable. Second thing, my calling is from God and about God. My calling is from God and it's about God. The first chapter of this book begins with perhaps the second greatest sentence in the written word. The first greatest sentence is, of course, in the beginning, God. That's a pretty good sentence. It's hard to beat that. This one comes really a close second with the sentence, it's not about you. It's not about you. Can you imagine what our world would be like if all the people who professed to love God, if all the people who said, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, started living like it wasn't about them? Can you imagine how dramatic our world would change? But yet, we as human beings choose on a very regular basis to make it about us. You go through the Wendy's drive-thru and it takes just a little too long. And man, that phone is in your hand. You are taking pictures. You're showing on your timesheet when you did it. And you're like, 17 minutes. 17 minutes. I wait. Now listen, if you posted that, I really did not read it. I haven't been on Facebook in quite some time. But like 17 minutes to the drive-thru. This is supposed to be fast food. What's the matter with Wendy's? This Wendy's should be shut down. This person should be fired. I can't believe this. Wendy's, it's about me. You go, well, so what? What's the big deal? Because right next to that post where you complained and you whined about how horrible these people at Wendy's are, on the left-hand side of your panel, it says likes, and one of those likes is probably Friendship Church. And maybe that person that you complained about, the Wendy's manager saw it, and he fired that person, and then they went online to find out who put it because they Facebook stalked you, because that's possible, because I've done it a few times. And they go, oh, it's a Christian. Figures. Figures. You see, if we as Christians would stop pretending and believing that the world is about us, a whole lot would change. I see people complaining and whining about government and about politics and about all this stuff, and I'm like, you know what? If you just start living like it's not about you, I don't think we'd have to worry about that. Because your calling is from God and it's about God. Look at this, Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you. This is Paul's pastor voice again. I beg you to live a life worthy of your calling. For you've been called by God. It's like, listen, the NBA draft was just this last week. We're not really concerned about that too much. We just want to get rid of Paul George. But anyways, we see these guys. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's the NFL draft, right? They get drafted like they're the number four draft picked. And then they go into training camp, and the NFL tests them for marijuana usage. And they are told 6 weeks in advance, we're going to test you on this date for marijuana usage. It takes 4 weeks to get out of your system. Do the math. And they get dinged for a positive test. And you're like, what's the matter with you? You've got called. You got drafted by this team. They're going to pay you millions of dollars. You can't stop smoking dope for 2 weeks. Live a life worthy of your draft. We get all upset about that. But yet we don't live a life worthy of a calling from a God created the universe with his voice, who holds everything in place. Because it's not about us. It's about him. And here's what's so amazing. Even though it's God's plan, God has called you to join him in it. He wants you to be a part of what he's doing in the world. You see, it's not about you. It's about what God is doing through you. That's what your calling is. Now look at this too, because not only is a calling from God, but it's about God. 2 Timothy 1:9, for God saved us and he called us to live a holy life. This is really cool because sometimes we see the word holy, right? And we think that's a spiritual thing. Oh, holy, spiritual. That word holy can also be translated sanctified or set apart. Or here's a word we can all gravitate and understand too. Different. For God saved us and called us to live a different life. You are not to be like everyone else. You go, well, so-and-so put this on their Facebook, and so-and-so said this, and so-and-so reacted this way, and so-and-so said this to me and did this to me. Yes, you are called to be different. Not like high water, pants not long enough, pocket protector different, okay? different in how you act, behave, and interact with the world around you, because it's not about you. It's about God. So God has called you to be different, not like everyone else. If people cannot look at your life and in a positive way go, there's something different about you, then there's something wrong. More than likely, you've made it about you in one or maybe many areas of your life. But he's called us to live a holy, different life. He did this not because we deserved it, we know that, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 1 is the beginning of time when God said, "Let there be light." So before God said, "Let there be light," God was thinking about you. And he was planning your life. And he was laying out your calling. And he was in the process of looking and processing and manipulating all the things around the world so that you could become the man or the woman that he's called you to be. It is not an accident. It is not a mistake. It is not unintentional. It is not simply because of the choices that you've made. God's calling on your life is intentional. God's calling in your life is irrevocable. God's calling is about God, and it's from God. It's not about us. It's about us partnering with God and God working through us. Number three, my calling is unique and necessary. My calling is unique and necessary. 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to what? Not a trick question. What's it say? Serve one another. Now, I am not one of those people that believe because the Bible talks about a certain group of spiritual gifts that that is what the spiritual gifts are limited to. I know some people say that, oh, these are the only spiritual gifts and this is what it is. God never says, hey, here is a list of the spiritual gifts. Nothing else counts. I don't think that. And especially because on more than one occasion, Paul says it and Peter says it here. His great variety of spiritual gifts. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where there's a spiritual gift of niceness. But I think that there are some people in the world that God has literally given the spiritual gift of niceness. You like freak out on them and they're like, oh, honey. You're like, seriously? You're so nice. Yeah. That's from God. I want to kill you right now. But I believe that there's a variety of things that God has given us and equipped us and called us to do. It's not limited to our imagination. And that's what's so amazing. God takes these gifts and he gives them to you and he packages them inside of who you are. And so your experiences, your processes, your relationship, it shapes that. And so it's just like your thumbprint, your fingerprint. You are unique. There is no one in the world like you. Somebody around you is probably going, amen. There's no one like him. There's no one like you. And because of that, there is no one that can do what you can do. You are absolutely 100% necessary to what God is doing, not only in the world, but what God is doing here. And when you understand that, you realize when you don't use that gift, when you don't pursue your calling, then everyone else is missing out. So my challenge to you is, man, find out what your gift is. Find out what your calling is. Pursue it with a reckless abandon because we need it. Because it was given to you to serve each other. Hebrews 3:1. Brothers and sisters, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. This is one of the reasons we use the term ministry partners, not members here. When you think of membership, you're like, oh, I subscribe to Netflix, or I subscribe to Hulu, or hey, listen, I've got a gym membership that I used once several years ago that I'm still paying for. I'm pretty sure just holding this card makes my cholesterol go down. Because that's what you think. That's what you think of membership. You show up every once in a while and you get privileges. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about God doing something through you. And so as we understand that, we go, man, God has called you to partner with those around you. Because your calling is unique and it's also necessary. 1 Corinthians 12:22. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and the least important are actually the most necessary. You go, what I do doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You go, well, it's not a big deal. Yes, it is. What God has called you to do is absolutely vital and essential to what God is doing around the world and what God is doing here at Friendship Church. We absolutely 100% need you to pursue your calling so that we can pursue our calling to become an effective and influential church for the glory of God. Now here's my first part of the challenge. If you are not using your gifts and you are not using your calling, then today, don't wait, don't hesitate, don't think about it, because then something's going to happen and you're going to think about how busy you are. We're all busy, but here's the cool part. When you start pursuing your calling, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's busy work that you go, I don't need to do that anymore because that's not what God's called me to do. I need to do this. And find out where you fit, where you can serve, and begin to express that calling that God has given you. Now, the second half of it is a little different. All the ministry leaders are about ready to panic, but that's okay. Because there are probably some of you that are serving in an area that you have no business serving in. But you do it because there was a need. You're like, well, I teach kids, I hate them, but I teach them. Here's the thing. If you are doing something that God has not called you to, then you are standing in the way of the person that God is calling to do it. You're standing in their way. Because here's the thing that's probably going on. They're going, well, I think that God has called me to do this, but so-and-so's already doing it, so I guess I won't. Here's the thing that they don't know. So-and-so is doing a really bad job at that because it's not their calling. It's not their calling. So my challenge to you is if you're somewhere where God has not called you, give like a three-week thing and go, hey, listen, I need to step out because this is not where God's called me. God's called me over there. I need to head over there. And that's okay. I now have about 17 text messages or emails from all of our ministry leaders going, I quit. No, because they want you too. They want you where you can serve God the best. Because let me tell you something, when you are serving in the area of your calling and your giftedness, I can't even explain what it feels like. I cannot even begin to tell you the joy that you have, even if it's not easy, because it won't be. Because everything will be leveraged in this world against you from doing that, because that threatens what they're doing. So my challenge to you today, and there's a little box on the bottom there. Checking the box doesn't change anything. But I hope the choice to check the box is what changes it. And that is, I'm going to pursue my calling no matter what. I'm going to pursue my calling no matter what, no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on. I'm going to literally take charge of the calling that God has given me. I'm not going to wait. I'm not just going to show up on Sunday mornings and sit and listen. I'm actually going to go pick it up. I'm actually going to read the book. I'm actually going to challenge myself. I'm actually going to take responsibility for becoming the man, becoming the woman that God has called me to be. I'm not going to sit back and wait for it to happen anymore. I'm not going to stand on the edge of the unknown and be scared. I'm going to step out into the unknown because I know that's where God's calling me. And I will do it. And I am petrified, and that's okay. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's why we talked about swagger for the last 3 weeks. Because it's scary. It's scary. But when you begin to pursue God's calling, it always leads to God's blessing. And so my challenge to you is don't just let it out there and hang. Grab it with both hands. Pursue it with a reckless abandon and become the man, become the woman that God has called you to be. Father God, we thank you so much. We are absolutely humbled that you would choose us. God, that you would call us, that you would equip us, that you would allow us to tap into your power, that you would allow us to experience your hope, the joy of a fulfilled life and a calling that goes beyond understanding and purpose. And God, I just pray that you would absolutely release some people today from the things that are holding them back. God, don't let them sit timid waiting for something to happen for them, but instead help them realize that you have called them to do something. You've called them out. You've called them up. You've called them forward to become the men and the women that you've designed, crafted, created, prepared before the beginning of time for them to be. God, I pray that in this moment, all over the place, you're just turning people loose. God, all the garbage that they've been told their whole life, you tell them that's not true. That's not true at all. That's not how I see you. You remind them, hey, I formed you. You are my masterpiece. I have great plans for you. God, don't let them be hesitant, but let them be excited about the possibility of truly being who they were meant to be. So many of us run around with masks on, faking it. God, you never called us to live a life of pretend, but a life of being completely fulfilled with purpose and meaning. God, I pray that they would know that and you'd turn them loose. Father, we pray in the name of our glorious Savior who died not so that we could live in fear, but who died so we could be free. Free to become who you called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.